2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. We read our text of this morning, but I want to go back to it tonight for a few moments. And then I always love praise and prayer time on Sunday night. I love it. I just love it and thank God for it. And we'll get to that in just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Wouldn't that be wonderful if all came to repentance? Amen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'm speaking on this subject today. Jesus Christ did not come yesterday. What are you going to do about it? It's almost been 30 years since 88 reasons were written why Jesus would come in 1988. And everybody seems to remember that. Unchurched people remember that. 88 reasons, 88 fallacies now as to why Jesus would come and didn't come in 1988. And I didn't even really read all the research as to why, according to Revelation 12, Jesus was going to come yesterday. I didn't even read it. I just thought logically about this. If I'm the Lord Jesus, and I said in my word, no man knoweth the hour nor the day when the Son of Man shall come. If I was the Lord Jesus and somebody published on Facebook, I was coming back on September 23rd, I'd tell the Father, do not send me on September 23rd. Say an amen right there. We speak of the imminent return of Christ. Imminent return of Christ. And I would submit that every time we try to date the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't call attention to the imminent return of Christ. Rather, we provide an opportunity for those who say, where is the promise of his coming, to utter again, where is the promise of his coming? Now, we know the promises of the Bible are real and true and yet to be fulfilled. We know that. Paul showed us a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We know that. We know the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We know that Jesus is our blessed hope, and we're looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom to be testified in due time. We know Jesus is coming again. He said so. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And we know he's coming again because his word said, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And we know he's coming because he said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and of hell. And I come quickly. The Bible clearly states the return of Jesus Christ for the church. He's coming. Amen. He's coming again. But no man knows the day or the hour the Son of Man cometh. And I just had three simple observations that I want to make about the idea that we would set a date for the return of Christ and how we need to hone our focus in on what really matters. Number one, if you want to write these things down, a real belief in the return of Jesus Christ will produce an active faith. A real belief in the imminent return of Jesus Christ will produce an active faith in the life of believers. In other words, Kind of what I'm trying to say in a nice way, I just talked to the guys about not being harsh when we preach. So I'm not going to be harsh, but I'm going to say a hard thing here. I've noticed the lives of those looking most for Jesus Christ to come back yesterday were really doing nothing in advance of the coming of Jesus Christ yesterday. If you really believed, I mean really believed, Jesus was absolutely coming back yesterday, what do you think we would have been involved in yesterday? Endless, uninterrupted, bold, spirit-filled, zealous, hellfire, brimstone, evangelistic, confrontational, swing door, soul winning. That's what we'd been involved in. We'd have called all our friends that we know are not saved. We'd call every acquaintance we know that's not saved. We'd write every email, every text, every Facebook post, anything we could do to publish the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would have done if we really believed that Jesus was coming yesterday. We've made our faith so inactive. In other words, our faith is a noun and not a verb. If I said to you, do you believe in the return of Christ? You'd say yes. The Bible teaches that. To anyone of a millennial nature that might exist somewhere in the world, I ask you a question. If those passages I quoted a moment ago were not related to the return of Jesus Christ, pray tell me, what do they refer to? You say, well, it depends on what your interpretation of "he said I will come again" is. Well, that needs no interpretation. He said I will come again. But we as Christians have become so accustomed in saying things we believe, but we don't act them out. I'll take an unscientific poll here tonight. How many of us believe in the existence of a literal heaven where exists the throne of God? We believe in that. You really believe in that? How many of us believe, based on the Word of God, that there's a literal hell? We really believe that. And we really believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, by our faith, not a noun faith, an active, a verb faith, believing God. Now let me ask you again, based on how we're acting out our faith, do we with our behavior really exhibit a belief in the things we just said we verbally assent to? Think about this. If this is the Word of God, do you know how many times the president's words from Friday night have been retweeted and posted on the internet? Millions of times. Millions of times. And word of the wise, sometimes we have a good message that we might often discredit in the way we delivered the message. And it is a shame. It's a shame that our president has to be blurbed out in what he said. That's a shame. What a crying shame. But this is the Word of God. I believe that. How many times have How many times have we published the Word of God in the last couple days? If this is the message of God, the message of the Sovereign of the universe, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, in other words, a real belief in the return of Jesus Christ will produce an active faith in the life of the believer. You say, what do you mean? Look in your text here, 2 Peter chapter 3, and he says, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, Peter is going back and forth here. We're thinking of the rapture. He's thinking of the second advent. Now, when Jesus Christ comes for the church, many of the things that Peter speaks about here will not take place at the return of Jesus Christ in the clouds for the church. But they will take place when Jesus comes on the clouds with the church. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now look at verse 11. Seeing then. You believe what he just said in verse 10? I mean, you really believe it. If you still believe it, say amen.
Amen.
If you really believe it, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, notice carefully, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holiness, conversation, and godliness? What Peter's saying is this: if you say you believe this, it will dictate the behavior you exhibit in the world with in all holy conversation and godliness. It's impossible to say we believe mentally and yet in the heart believe it and it not affect the way that we live our lives. Jesus obviously didn't come yesterday because we're the church and I'm still here. Now, I'm okay to be here because I know he's coming soon. But I'm still here. What am I to do? Remember what he said, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And what did Jesus tell him before he left? Well, he answered their question and they said this. They said, Lord, wilt thou again at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. You worry about what you need to worry about. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus simply saying this, a real belief in the imminent return of Jesus Christ will produce an active faith in the life of believers. I'm simply saying this. If you said Jesus was coming yesterday and didn't do anything about preparing others to come to be with him when he comes, I don't really think you believed he was coming yesterday. Because it produces faith in us. Fellas, if your wife went on a 7-day vacation and you had to watch the kids, now I don't know who she's going with. Maybe she just needs to be with herself, and that might be the case. And I'll be back in 7 days. Please have... And this is the nice way to say it. Please make sure the kids have the house clean when I get back. Now, guys, I'm not smart, but I'm not that stupid. I know what that means. Will you please make sure that the house is clean? And if the kids can help you in any way, please notify them of such things. And you really believe she's coming back tomorrow, 7th day. You really believe it. But you don't do anything about it. Either didn't care if she was coming back. You really thought she'd delay in her coming. Now, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. And the fact is, we ought to sit on more pins and needles because we don't know when he's coming back. But it will produce an active faith in the life of believers. Number two, my second impression is this. Some people are more preoccupied with the revelation of the Antichrist than the return of Jesus Christ. You know what I get so tired of? I get so tired of doing the Greek and Hebrew numerological value of a man's name. Last I heard, a good friend of mine, I love him. He sent me an email that had the numerical value of Prince Harry of England. Prince Harry's name in Greek equals 666. The Antichrist is Lady Di's son. I was so upset by that. No wonder they took her out. They're trying to kill the Antichrist. And we can read into everything. We can read into everything. This guy, the Antichrist. Is that person the Antichrist? And we're so preoccupied looking for the man of sin that we cease to look for the true Christ coming from heaven. And I submit to you again, our hope is not in the second coming of Christ. Our hope is in Christ who is coming again. We're looking for the blessed hope. I'm not worried about the Antichrist. Why? Because I won't be here when he's revealed. I'll be with him. Amen. Sometimes we get so worried about things. The devil says, here's what I'll do. I'll take those good church folks and I'll dissuade them from looking for the Christ, the Lord Jesus, to come. And I'll get them involved in reading all of Tex Mar's books and all of Hal Lindsey's books. And let me say this, those aren't bad things. And John even said there's one book in the Bible that God promises blessing on, the reading of it. Blessed is he that readeth and understandeth the prophecy of this book, the revelation of Christ. And I believe that. But let me just tell you where I grew up. And I love my pastor. Every Wednesday night, every Sunday school. And a lot of times every Sunday night was a prophetic sermon. And I understand there's a time and place for that. But again, what did we learn? Seeing that all these things must be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? In other words, our goal is to become the Christian God saved us to be. And when He shall appear, I'll be like Him. I'll see Him as He is, but I don't want to go and see Him empty-handed. I wonder how much emotional, mental equity was exercised. And think about the blood moons. Now, I talked about that because it's interesting. And there's some Bible that talks about that. But I'd hate to think we were so busy reading books on the blood moons and studying on the return of Christ on September 23rd that we didn't have time to spend with the Lord Jesus becoming the Christian that He saved us to be. If the devil can deceive you, even with good things, keep you from the best things, he'll use good things to keep you from the high road. I wonder how many of us are more preoccupied with the revelation of the Antichrist than looking for Him as to come from heaven. Number three, rapture predictions belittle the literal return of Christ. Rapture predictions belittle the literal return of Christ. Well, they were wrong again, somebody said. And they brought God's word into it. And so somebody says, well, how could they read the Bible and get that out of it? And that guy over there, he read it and he didn't get that out of it. And he read it and he didn't get that out of it. And she read it and she didn't get that out of it. It creates doubts and confusion in people's minds. And don't you know there's so much confusion in the world today about what the Bible says? Let me just park here for a moment and say there's so much confusion in the world today about what God's Word is. Let alone what it means. Let alone what God said. Last thing in the world I want to do is to belittle the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And Paul said this. He said, when He appears, we're going to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. And then Paul uses these words, not to those unsaved pagans in Corinth, but to those converted carnal Christians in the church of Corinth. Here's what he said. He said, because He's coming, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He didn't use that word terror to the unsaved. He used it for the church. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I am absolutely thrilled at the thought that we're going to see Jesus someday. Can you imagine that? I'm going to see Jesus someday. I mean, we've talked about Him, and we've preached about Him, and sung about Him, and told others about Him. But wait a minute, to see Him, wow. Mine eyes shall see King Jesus. But would you flip that over for a second? You're going to see Jesus Christ. Wow. John saw Him. John saw Him go that way. And John said, here's what I saw. I saw a man look like other men. I saw a man with nail prints in his hands. But then he saw Him coming back this way. And John wrote in Revelation, I saw Him, and He's fierce to look on. Ethan was asking me questions about that yesterday. His hair as white as snow. His eyes a flame of fire. Hair that's so brilliant and glistering that it shines exceeding the brightness of the sun. His eyes exceeding the heat of the sun. Wow. Whew. And you're going to stand before Him. That's terrifying. I mean, I want to see Him. I do. I want to see Him. And the great thing is, when He shall appear, we'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. And perfect love casteth out fear. I'm so glad He'll make us like Him, so when we stand before Him, we can bear it. Amen. Boy, we think when we stand before Him, we'll be as we are right now. You can't stand before Him and live. You can't even look at Him and live. But when He makes you like Him, you'll take in all that He is and all that you were. And He'll lay those crowns and you'll say, Lord, I'm not worthy of these. I look at my hands as much as they're like His, but I think there won't be but one set of nail-scarred hands in that city. And they belong to the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world for our sins. You see, last thing I want to do is belittle the historical, geographical event that is the rapture of the church and the return of Jesus Christ. What'd you do yesterday, preacher? I did everything I felt like I was supposed to do. That's what I did. We had 16 soul winners here yesterday. Amen. That's great. I was so encouraged by that. And lots of other folks during the week sharing the gospel, doing what we're supposed to do. Occupy. Occupy till I come. And so he didn't come, but someday he will. And if I really believe it, if I really believe it, it will affect actively how I live this week. And I'm looking for him to come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together, may we? I wonder in your heart and life if the return of Christ, the rapture of Christ, really, really affects our daily life. I mean, really. And I know my heart, and I know the enemy. He'll say to somebody, maybe to you already, well, he didn't come yesterday. He probably won't come in your lifetime. Is that really so? One of these days, there's going to be a generation whose eyes will see, whose ears will hear, whose feet will leave the ground. There'll be a generation of living saints united with departed loved ones in the clouds with the Lord. Could be our time. Could be tonight. And will that event produce an act of faith in our lives? Will that event help us to think more of what we ought to do to win the lost for Christ, to live a victorious Christian life in all holy conversation and godliness, the way we live? The way we live ought to suggest, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. That song said, I'm packing up, getting ready to go. No use for that. Bags are packed. No use for that. I've got my spiritual house in order. My family's on board the ark. And when she disembarks from port earth and heads for the heavenly port, I wonder if our family will be on board. I wonder if those that God gave us opportunity to win for him will be on board. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us.